The Cincinnati Reds are in town. Let's go. What a big day it should be for the Blue Jays. Ben, are you pumped?
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to bring one of the worst baseball teams I've ever seen in my life into town. The Jays should be very excited and coming off an off day. No excuse to not just absolutely pummel these Reds over the next 3 days.
Ben and I are going to give you another edition of the Prospect Roundup. We will give you a little game ski, and then we will also hit you with a little this day in Blue Jays history ahead of this series with the Reds. It's all on Locked On Blue Jays, and it's right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Matt Bonaparte and Ben Shulman with you on Locked On Blue Jays. We hope you're all having a wonderful Friday morning or afternoon or evening whenever you're listening to this. Ben and I are excited for another edition of the Prospect Roundup. It is where we give you three prospects that we highlight or having a good little stretch or season or whatever. One of them, at least one of them, must be from the Blue Jays top 30 prospects, and then the other two don't have to be, but they could be. Ben, would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
I'll go first, because I'm pretty excited about one, because I know you're going to be excited about it. Sneak peek, we do sometimes share our picks with each other to make sure that we're not overlapping. So I know that you're actually repeating a pick that I made in week one. I believe I'm repeating a pick that you made in week one with my first selection coming from the top 30. He's your number 7 prospect all the way from the Netherlands, Sem Robbers.
That's my
who's
guy.
Had just a massive week. He is your guy. I will not take a claim over that. I think you put him on the list when he was coming off a start where he went 7 shutout innings, only 2 hits allowed, 7 Ks. Well, he's kind of done it again. He's had his best start since then. He just went 6 shutout innings against Tri-Cities and only allowed 3 hits and 1 walk with 2 strikeouts. His ERA is down below 3. And now that we're, you know, 6 starts into the season, over 30 innings for Robbers, it's starting to get pretty real for him. I wonder how much longer he ends up staying in high A, because there have been some guys promoted already, like a Ricky Tiedemann going up to high A. And it's kind of that time of year where you could start to see some movement from the top players. Sem's been awesome as a starter so far for the Vancouver Canadiens, and I think he's got a really, really interesting chance here to start moving up and see if he can get himself, you know, now into double A, which is one call away from the majors for a lot of guys.
The man is a king, a Dutch king at that. Sem Robbers, an absolute goat. And you're going to see his name plenty in the next couple of years, and hopefully at some point in the majors. So I love Sem Robbers. I like that pick from you, Ben. My first one is Tanner Morris. He lands at number 28 on the top 30 Blue Jays prospects. A 24-year-old infielder from the U.S. He is a New Hampshire Fisher Cat right now in AA. Finally, his slugging numbers have shown up this season. His last couple of games, he hit his first 2 doubles of the year. And you want to elongate that stretch? In his last 11 games, he's slashing a .349 average, .451 on-base percentage, and a .581 slugging percentage. Good for a 1,032 on-base plus slugging. That's pretty darn good from Tanner. And if that wasn't good enough, he's put together a little bit of a hit streak, a 4-game hit streak, not anything crazy, but hey, 4 games is a streak. 7 hits in 4 games, 6 runs, and 4 walks, 2 doubles, and a homer. The guy has been absolutely on fire at the plate. That is what you love to see from a guy that's pretty highly touted.
Absolutely. I didn't actually tell you, but he's the one who's the repeat pick on your side. I picked Tanner Morris the first week as well. So cool to see him coming back around now. And 4-game hit streak, you know, I get a look at the minors every day. It's hard for guys to be consistent on a day-by-day when they're just, you know, in their early 20s or something like that. But for Tanner to get that 4-game hit streak, that's pretty big. I'll go to my next top 30 pick. Another guy hanging around Morris in the, you know, mid to, well, not really mid, in the late 20s, just on the top 30. I got a 19-year-old from Venezuela pitching right now at Single A Dunedin, Dahian Santos, who's been a bullpen guy in his 6 appearances, but he's really a starter because they're just using him in long relief right now to piggyback, which is what they do a lot of the time in the minors when they have more than five or six starter prospects. He's got about four innings in every appearance. His last three have been four exactly. And he's coming off an appearance where he went four innings, gave up one hit, and struck out 10 batters. Just ludicrous stuff there. He got all but two outs with strikeouts, and that's been how his whole month is going. Since May started, 26 strikeouts to seven walks in 12 innings.
Wow.
That is disgusting. He is 19 years old. If he shipped up to Canada or to Ontario, he'd just be legal to have a beer right now. But he's, you know, making a lot of guys on the other teams go for extra beers after the games because he keeps striking out guys in huge numbers. He's, you know, one of the big stars now in Dunedin. And maybe with some of that movement with guys like Tiedemann moving up, he'll get more starts because he started one game this year. But I'd love to see what he could do in five or six innings rather than just four.
Yeah, those numbers are pretty crazy. You love to see that from a young pitcher. Just absolutely nasty. For me, my second guy will move up to Triple A in Buffalo. A 27-year-old United States outfielder, Nathan Lucas, a guy outside of the top 30. And you might be looking at that age at 27 saying, Nathan, I mean, you might have missed the shuttle to the majors. Listen, he's on a six-game hit streak right now, eight hits in six games, five walks, four ribbies, and he's got some speed too, eight stolen on the season. He's third on the team in runs scored, and he's seventh in on-base percentage, meaning when he gets on base, he scores. The guy gets on a ton, and he gets the job done. The real reason I've included him on this list is because in AAA, at 27 years old, I think that the Jays should be giving him a look to be at least a bench option over a guy like Bradley Zimmer, who can't seem to hit the ball for anything. Of course, Bradley has the great glove, and he's fast and everything, and he's a good athlete, but hey, Nathan Lucas should get a shot at the majors, and I'm not saying he's going to come up and be a world beater, but give him a shot. I mean, there just needs to be some new blood on that bench, and maybe he could spark something and get the guys going. I'm not saying Bradley Zimmer's the problem, but I'm saying Nathan Lucas could be the answer.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, we're looking a lot at young guys. That's a really interesting pick coming for a guy that could impact the major league roster this year. There's a handful of guys in Buffalo right now just raking. And that's a hitter's ballpark for sure. But Lucas fits in as, like, you know, if you're going to make it up as a utility bench guy, 27, 28, that's kind of your, you know, final call. So maybe we'll see whether it's soon or if it's maybe with a roster expansion coming up late in the year, if Lucas can find his way onto the team. I'm going to go over to the position player side for my final one because I've gone pretty pitcher heavy so far. So my last pick and my off the top 30 man is a 24-year-old middle infielder right now in New Hampshire, Rafael Latinga. He's, you know, split time between AA and AAA. Actually started the year with Buffalo for two games and then came back down to AA, and he's really been turning it on recently. His last game against Erie, two days ago, 4-for-5 in the game with a double, three RBIs, and two runs scored. Two games before that had another multi-hit game. Three games before that had another multi-hit game. He's just going absolutely nuts. In the last 2 weeks, he has 12 hits. So it's huge to see, you know, a guy like that who, you know, again, I think is probably like in a future spot like Lucas. You know, he's the train is coming pretty soon and he's got to hop on, or, you know, you quickly, 26 isn't old to that many people, but it can get old pretty quick in the minors. But at 24, he's still got a really good shot to move up. He's hitting really well. And I wonder if eventually, with all these multi-hit performances he's having, if he can find himself on the Buffalo roster pretty soon.
Another guy that's going to apply to is right-handed relief pitcher Jeremy Beasley, who is my third pick. Now, if you followed the team closely last year, you might remember this name because he got a shot in 9 1/3 innings, and he was absolutely terrible. He allowed 8 earned runs and really was not effective at any point. Really bad, but at least the guy had some major league experience, and back in 2020 when he was with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He struck out Trevor Story, so that's something to put on the resume. But the guy is absolutely dealing this year. At 26 years old, like I said, he's outside that top 30 prospect range. I don't know if you consider him a prospect at this point. But an 0.83 ERA, a 0.738 whip, and 25 Ks in 21 and two-thirds innings. He's been absolutely sensational in AAA, and his repertoire isn't like he's throwing 100 miles an hour or anything. He has a around 92-mile-an-hour four-seamer, an 87-ish-mile-an-hour two-seamer, and then a sweeping slider, excuse me, say that five times fast, and a changeup. And he looks pretty good when he's on like he is right now. Another guy that I chose on this list because I think it fills a hole that the Jays have right now. Currently, the bullpen is crazily overtaxed, and you might want to add a guy that can come in and just get something done. Obviously, if he was brought up, those numbers aren't going to translate to the majors. Definitely would inflate somewhat, but in a tough spot when you need somebody to come in, I don't think Jeremy Beasley's a bad option.
No, and I mean, he's clearly kind of above the level of where he's pitching at now. You can't put together an 0.83 ERA for that long and not be, you know, moving up. So that's an exciting guy. Potentially the Jays look for some, you know, depth in the bullpen with him.
That does it for another edition of the Prospect Roundup. When Ben and I come back, we will be giving out a couple of awards to some Blue Jays here around the 30 or 40 game mark. What is it, 40 games now, Ben? I'm going crazy. 30?
38, I think.
Something like that. All right, nearly 40 game mark. We'll see you on the other side. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. Hey, with the Cincinnati Reds in town, maybe take a couple of bets on the Toronto Blue Jays. Just saying. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Welcome back to Locked On Blue Jays. He's Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Schulman. And after almost 40 games, almost a quarter of the season, it's time for us to do our Locked On Awards for the first time this season. By the way, thanks so much for making us your first listen every day and on this Friday. Now make your next listen the Locked On Now podcast. Recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts taking fans through the season like no other network. Free and available wherever you get your podcast. All right, so traditionally when we've done awards, which we've done twice this year, I think, they've been like weekly awards or series awards, but we're going to go a little bit more macro and go season-long awards through this first quarter-ish of the year. Bones, I'll be honest with you. I didn't tell you this before we started. My awards aren't, like, super serious. So, like,
it's just so classic.
Yeah, well, we do analysis on the team every day, so I'm just going to disclaim to the listener that I had a little bit of fun with it. But there is actual stuff in there as well. Do you want to go first, or should I?
I can go first.
All right, go ahead.
As you might have known, I'm talking to the listener, I stick out like a little bit of a sore thumb here in the Blue Jays community as a diehard and longtime Yankees fan, but, you know, sometimes you got to bring that in to your awards and just show off your true colors. I'm going to give Vladimir Guerrero the Blue Jays Clipper Award because, like Joe DiMaggio, he's putting together a little bit of a hit streak here. He's got a chance to make it 16, 17, and 18 games long against the Reds coming up. I was talking to you off mic about this, Ben. People love to talk about Vladimir Guerrero like he's going to be the next big slugger and home run hitter, and he's going to have 50 home runs a season. I think he's way more of the Miguel Cabrera type of guy who's just a pure hitter. He's going to hit laser shots to the outfield, hit bat on ball whenever he possibly can, and hit the ball hard. He's a really good hitter all around, not just from the power angle. So he's putting that to the test right now. 15-game hit streak. What more could you ask from the guy?
No, that's a good pick. Yeah, I see Vladdy, you know, while I'd love him to hit 50 bombs, I see him as like a consistent 35-ish, 40-homer guy, maybe in his good years, and hitting in the low to mid-300s. So, yeah, that's a good pick for sure, and a serious pick. We'll now go to the my first award, which, you know, this will definitely ostracize you as a Toronto sports crossover. I hate to bring up the Leafs, but I'm a little more okay bringing up the Leafs of my childhood. So this is the Joffrey Lupul Award, and for context to our listener and to Matt Bonaparte, Joffrey Lupul, winger for the Leafs in the early 2010s, and there was one year where Joffrey Lupul, I think it was 2011-12, he kept getting hurt, like, constantly. But every time he came back, he scored a goal. I looked it up. He had 11 goals in 18 games. He just would come back, score two goals in three games, get hurt, go out, come back again. It was kind of outrageous. And I'm giving that award to Danny Jansen, who, you know, in fewer games, to be fair, is having a start to a Joffrey Lupul-like season. I don't want him to keep getting hurt by any means. But in his first five starts of the year, he's got three home runs. Now, he's one for his last seven, or one for his last eight if you want to count his one pinch hit. But it's kind of crazy to watch Danny Jansen, like, hit a home run. He took a day off on the 9th, hit a home run against Texas on April 10th, got hurt for more than a month, came back, hit a home run in the first game he was in. I'm getting Joffrey Lupul vibes from that. So that's why he gets the Joffrey Lupul.
I like that. I like that one from you. That was good. That was clever.
Thank you.
I'm going to go again with a kind of serious one. This is the REM Sleep Award. If you're not familiar with the sleep cycle, REM sleep is the deepest kind of sleep that a human can endure. It's when you have dreams and whatnot. This is going to go to the Santiago Espinals of the world, Santiago Espinal, because he gets slept on by the rest of the league. Everybody is just sleeping on this guy, snoring away. Meanwhile, he's putting together one of the best seasons a second baseman can in baseball right now. The dude is hitting .289 with a .786 OPS. He's got a couple of homers, 15 ribbies on the year. He plays a really good second base, and I think most teams in the league would probably want him if they paid attention to him. Santiago Espinal is the current leader in WAR on the Blue Jays. Isn't that bonkers?
Yeah, it's so nuts.
He's a dog. I love my boy Santi.
Yeah, he's like propping that up, and this is not a slight at all. It's totally why the stat is there. He's propping a lot of that up with defensive WAR. He's been such a good defender, and now the bats coming together this year where, you know, he's I think he's the highest average hitter on the Jays right now. He's hitting like .290. So, yeah, it's been a crazy year for him, and yeah, hopefully people keep sleeping. That's okay. He doesn't need the recognition.
Fine. They're in REM sleep, and it's okay.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to move to my second one, which is probably my most serious one of all of them, to be fair, but still not, like, super serious. It's the Scooby-Doo Monster Mask Award. So, you know, at the end of, like, every Scooby-Doo, when they pull it off, and they were like, oh, it was Mr. Yeah. Bridges the whole time, you know? Mm-hmm. Not, like, some monster chasing them. That award goes to Zach Collins, because after posing himself as some sort of offensive monster for the first 5-6 games he played, it turns out he was just Zach Collins the whole time. He is back down to a .673 OPS. The Jays really don't look like they have any plans to put him in very often, except maybe, you know, when they want a left-handed bat, but he has really not contributed very much offensively in the last couple games. I wish that he was still that monster that the Jays could rely on, but he is 0 for his last 9, and, you know, you can extend it out even further if you want, if I'm going to be a little bit mean. He's 1 for his last 24. So I don't see at this point why putting him in as a left-handed bat would make any more sense than putting in Biggio as a left-handed bat once Cavan comes back. So, unfortunately, he's just Mr. Collins and not the scary monster we thought he was.
Speaking of monsters, or things of the like, my last award is the Visited by the Monstars Award. If you haven't seen Space Jam, you know, the plot goes that aliens come to Earth and the Monstars take the superpowers of basketball players. I'm going to put it into baseball terms here in 2022 and say that the Monstars 100% surely have taken a visit to the Chapman residence. Matt Chapman has been visited by the Monstars, and I'm willing to say it, because I know nobody else will, because they're scared that the Monstars are going to get them next. He's terrible. He's downright bad. He's hitting 185 right now. Sure, he's got six homers, but the guy, he's got a hole in his bat right now. He just cannot do anything. Sure, he's playing decent defense, but come on. You got to be able to hit the ball at the hot corner, Matt. Come on.
All right. All right. Well, that was, you know, that was a definitely a serious one. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to flip around now to, you know, the least serious one I have of all my awards to finish it off here. Uh-oh. This is the future He Was a Blue Jay Award. And I actually probably wouldn't count this guy, but I can't not laugh at his brief stint in the Jays organization. It goes to Dexter Fowler, who signed with the Jays before this year, rehabbed with them, played three AAA games, and then on May 3rd, requested a release. I don't know what happened. I don't know what the plan was. Maybe they told him that they weren't thinking about moving him up to the majors and that he was going to spend most of the year in AAA. Maybe he just, you know, a lot of players, to be fair, I'm not accusing him of this. A lot of players sometimes when they're hurt sign with a team and they can rehab with that team and use their facility. And then, you know, they might not want to live in Toronto and maybe they want to go somewhere else. You know, it's not like the Jays are hemorrhaging money. So if that's what Dexter Fowler wanted to do, all glory to him. But yeah, Dexter Fowler, I almost would say he counts as if he was a Blue Jay because his active baseball reference page is picture is him in a Blue Jay hat, and he never played a game for them. Okay, good. Well, I had to, I feel like. As the He Was a Blue Jay master, or quiz master, I should say. You're the master. I had to throw it in once. That does it for our awards. I hope you learned from Bones and, like, didn't throw up while I was saying my joke once. But we're going to step back. When we come back, some monumental stuff happened on May 20th in Blue Jays history. We're going to talk about it next on Locked On Blue Jays. Locked On Blue Jays fans, you know what I love? I love Locked On Syracuse host Brad Klein. But almost as much as him, I love brownies. And even more than that, I love brownie batter. Sometimes I eat half the batter just while I'm making brownies. Imagine if you could lick that brown spatula clean and get some protein in while you're doing it. Well, you're in luck because Built has a new creation, and this one is better than ever. The Brownie Batter Puff. You heard me right. This puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com. 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 7 grams of sugar. Brownie Batter Puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. Go to Built.com to get your Brownie Batter Puffs now and use our promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
It's the last stop here on Locked On Blue Jays. Matt Bonaparte and Ben Shulman right back with you. It is time for This Day in Blue Jays History, the second ever edition, I believe. Ben, this is where Ben and I give you one event each in which happened on whatever day this podcast is coming out, which is May 20th. We'll go back into our archives that we have procurated, and we'll get something. Ben, do you think you have a better one than I do, or do you think I have a better one than you do?
I think I have a better one than you do.
All right, so then we're going to save yours for the end. I'll go first. This day, on May 20th, in 1985, taking you back I don't know how many years because I can't do math. That's why I'm doing this. The Blue Jays beat the Chicago White Sox 6-1 in a game where a great pitching matchup occurred. Tom Seaver, the great, terrific Tom Terrific, pitched against Jimmy Key. Jimmy Key, underrated Blue Jay. I feel like we don't talk about Jimmy Key enough. Jimmy Key went 9 whole innings, a complete game, one run game, back when baseball was at its purest form, when they said, doesn't matter, let him go. and he beat Tom Seaver in a game where Seaver let up 3 earned, and the White Sox played horrendous defense to have 3 unearned runs. But a beautiful game in which Jimmy Key outdueled one of the greatest pitchers ever to do it. These are the kind of games that I would love to rewatch, and I would kind of just do nothing all day and watch it.
Yeah, some great names. If you go look at the White Sox, too, obviously the 85 Jays have a lot going on, but there's Carlton Fisk on that White Sox team. Ozzie Guillen, who obviously would go on to manage the White Sox, was on that White Sox team. Just kind of a cool think about and visualize in your head, because I'll be honest, I don't think the archive of that game is out there.
No, probably not, but the visualization is great.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Do you want me to hop onto mine?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
All right. This day in history, we're going to go, by the way, 37 years to 85. We're going to go. Man.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. We're going to go back, not that long, just 17 years to 2005. I will say, sneaky part before I get to the big part, this was the first ever series between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Washington Nationals. In May 20th, 2005, because the Nationals had just moved after the 2004 season from Montreal. Manager Frank Robinson and the Nationals came to Toronto, and the Blue Jays had a little bit of a trick up their sleeve to help them get a victory. They debuted designated hitter that day in the eight hole, Aaron Hill, who went 2-for-4 with two RBIs and a run. Great game overall. One that maybe does have an archive online, and definitely one I'd want to go watch. Marlon Byrd gets the 1-0 lead for the Nats in the fourth. Ted Lilly, former he was a Blue Jay, is on the mound for the Jays. And who's on the mound for Washington? Give me a sec here. I got you. Ah, Claudio Vargas, who cares? But Marlon Byrd gets the first run there. Then the Jays storm back in the bottom of the fourth. Vernon Wells hits a dinger to make it 2-1, and Aaron Hill picks up his first ever hit on a triple to dead center field, which is crazy. I mean, to have your first career hit be a triple and to hit a triple to dead center field is kind of tough at the Rogers Center, so that's pretty impressive. Scores Eric Hinsky and Russ Adams. Hill will score after that, and he'll go on to have another base hit, a single in the eighth inning, and of course that started what was, you know, one of the best careers for the Jays in the early 2000s. Hill would go on after that game to play another 874 for the Jays, nearly 1,000 hits as a Blue Jay. He was an All-Star and a Silver Slugger one year, hit a handful of home runs, almost 196 total. Didn't actually get that many triples after that triple on day one, but we forgive him for that because he randomly, I believe, hit for two cycles when he was with the Arizona Diamondbacks in the aftermath. So Aaron Hill, one of my favorite players as a kid, kind of cool that he debuted this day 17 years ago.
Yeah, he's a great Blue Jay and a very fun player. I don't think anybody in the league disliked Aaron Hill. He was just fun to watch. Kind of a little bit like Jose Altuve before Jose Altuve kind of broke onto the scene, because he was the undersized second baseman who just hit dongs. So I'm a big fan of Aaron Hill, even watching him across the division. So good one, Ben. Thanks, man. And thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Ben and I will be back after the weekend to recap the Red Series and preview whatever's coming next. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB with, you know him, you love him, Paul Francis Sullivan. And please call him Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.